Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're listening. This is the Fantasy College Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Tony DeMarco, joined as always to help us get through the fantasy week, my co-host, Todd Sheftick. Todd, how you doing?
Doing well, man. Busy. Holidays coming up, getting excited. A lot of wrestling happened.
Probably the most busy holiday for you, too, right?
Yeah.
I know my friend works for UPS. You work for UPS, too, a little bit, and you know this is the worst. He basically buys a jug of whiskey, I think, just for the season to get him through.
So it's a lot of hours.
Yeah, but we were off last week. It kind of a weird timing that we weren't able to get in. There wasn't really much going on. It was a very slow kind of week. But now we have another week that ticks up just a little bit more. Not a whole lot of duels. Only one major tournament. But then we hit a real quick turnaround with week eight with the collegiate duels and Campbell fighting Camel duels too. So we'll actually be previewing all of week seven and a little bit of week eight too to help you get that quick turnaround, because you're going to have to make some moves on Monday if you want to try to win that week, probably, most likely. So, but before we get started, we'll start with our usual pleasantries. You know, me getting everything ready for the holidays, we got our tree, right? And we still do the real tree thing. I've begged to try to get a fake tree, do what my parents did. No, my wife still wants the real tree, so we got to do that. We went to Oxford, actually, to get it. We tried like three or four farms, and it was one of them was out your way, and it was slim pickings of what we could do. It was basically like from A Christmas Story, where he's like, how about this one? And he slams it down and all the needles kind of fall off. Yeah. That's the kind of trees that they had left at that place. And they wanted like 50, 60 bucks for it. So no, we ended up spending, get this, $160 on a Christmas tree.
Good God.
I will say it is a beautiful tree. It is a very good looking tree. I'm not trying to be Trump. It's a very good looking tree, but it's like 8 feet. And we basically put it up and started scraping the top of the ceiling. So we're like, okay, now we know with the new house, our limitation of height when it comes to trees, with height, things like that. What about you? Do you do real tree, or do you fake tree?
Well, you know, my fiance and I, we're in a tiny apartment, so we don't get a tree at all.
Oh, okay.
My parents' house, which is where I'll spend, you know, the holidays, they do fake tree just because my stepfather's allergic to trees. Wow. So they can't bring a real one in the house.
Allergic.
Yeah. Eventually we'll move out and get our own house. I would do a real tree.
Yeah. There's something about a real tree, I will say, that's nice. It's cathartic almost, you know, but, at least with the fake ones, kind of like when you have the cinnamon bun candle, they have those little sticks that smell like pine that you can just throw in the water and it makes the whole house smell.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like that. So you kind of get the same effect.
Right? Yeah. I would always go real. I mean, it's just, I don't know. That's just what I would do. I'm a traditionalist, I guess.
Mm. Now the next problem that we have is after decorating it, Anthony, my 3-year-old, not me, but my 3-year-old wants to just take down and play with all the ornaments. So we're like, no, we can't. I saw something pretty cool online too. They have fake Christmas like boxes that are wrapped to look like presents, and they put bricks in them. So it's basically like a barrier to keep the kids away. I think it was meant for pets, but I think it will work. Anything that works for dogs will work for children too.
Yeah.
I found toys are the same. Commands are the same. You know, everything basically the same between those two. But
I mean, when I was younger, we have cats. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, my parents every year always wanted to put the tinsel on the tree, and the cats would invariably eat the tinsel and it would get caught in their stomachs, and they would, you know, go to the bathroom and there would be tinsel all over the house. I won't get too graphic with it, but I don't know why my parents just didn't stop putting the tinsel on the tree, because the cats ate it every damn year.
After the eighth time, I think it's about time you learn, like, okay, maybe we don't do tinsel on the tree.
Yeah, it makes a mess. So, yeah, no tinsel.
At least it was a festive crap. You know?
Yeah.
But like we said last week, let's get into the wrestling. Let's get through all this. You know, it's the holidays, so I'm sure everybody wants to get to that. I don't think me putting in any new background. Like, I think if I do this, is that going to be too much?
Go to the little log
in the back.
Yeah, the fire in the back. That's
nice. All right, we'll do that since you know we're both visual and audio nowadays. We'll do this just for the Rockfin fans. But like we said, not a whole lot of wrestling last week. A few duels. One tournament in the what tournament was it? I can't even think. The Cleveland State Open, I believe it was. Was it the Cleveland State Open? Yes, I think it, yes. And so we did have a little bit of shakeup in the overall standings. Let's get over to that here and present that screen if I can figure out where it is. Here we are. Okay. So we have the week six leaders, Army, West Point, and Michigan at the top here with Nathan Lucas and Bo Mantinona, both with 19 matches, or I'm sorry, 19 matches, that'd be insane. Five matches, 19 points, both with the same points per match amount there. So they're tied for first. There weren't a whole lot of varying, I think Army sent their basically whole team to the Cleveland State Open. So that's why I see a lot of guys up here. Vincent Kilcary makes his appearance. Dylan Ragason wrestled there. He took first as well. Only had four matches, but still 4.3 points per match. Pretty good. Atop the fantasy standings, Caleb Henson, even though I don't think they wrestled last week, he's still atop. He's at 66 points here.
Zach, he's got 17 matches already. Holy cow.
Yeah, 17 matches. And he's been a workhorse. Same with Peyton Hall. Peyton Hall's maybe theirs is a little bit stretched because of they've had a few like 3-4 dual days kind of thing. So Caleb Henson, I think, have all been maybe 1-2 matches a week, and then he's been at all these tournaments too.
Yeah,
some classic. He was at CKLV the other week. So I mean, he's making the finals or winning or taking second like he did at CKLV. Well, some people think he should have taken first, myself included. There should have been some swipes. It's past. We're not going to talk about it. We'll move on from there. Trent Hidley was at number two, I think, last week. Because he didn't really wrestle, he slips down only 1 point behind the other two here. So you can find all this on the Intermat Fantasy Wrestling Forum. Go take a look at that. You'll see the full 25-man listing for both. We'll click those out now. We'll get to this in a little bit. But let's start talking about this week. So week seven, we have from, what's the date? Basically starts on the 15th, which is Friday, and it's going to go to the 17th on Sunday. And then, we have that quick turnaround for week eight, the 18th, 19th. You got collegiate duels, the Fighting Camel duels as well, and we'll get into that. So for week seven, at 125, Spencer Moore for UNC. I have him with a +8, Morgan State and Appalachian State. Appalachian State down a little bit, I would say. You know, the past few years with John Milner and all those guys, I don't want to say rebuilding, but they're definitely in a little bit of not as power. Like I don't know if I'm picking them to win the SoCon. I think Campbell might run away with it this year.
Yeah. How about retooling?
Retooling. I like that. Nice. Yeah. Braden Palmer from Chattanooga. I believe he started the year in redshirt. They were kind of trying to think whether they were going to keep him in redshirt or not. I think they're pulling the shirt. I think he's going to be wrestling starting. So against Little Rock, against Queens, I have him as +7. He's got a little bit of a tough match, I think, against Little Rock. Eli Griffin from Central. Why am I going to say Central? From California Baptist. He's got three matches this week. So you usually think three matches, that's usually pretty good. One of which is against Blake West, who he lost to last year.
Yeah.
Right. So I have him as +6 because I think even if he loses, I think he still bonuses the other two and,
yeah,
you know, gets two majors and that puts him at +5, maybe +6, depending on it. I picked him up in our fantasy league, in our dynasty league, because what I'm thinking is if he gets +6, great. If he ends up, you know, winning, against West, that's even more icing on the cake. That's a 6-point swing, basically.
Yeah.
Right? At least. Because I don't think he's going to major. But Brandon Kaler's against CSU Bakersfield. So what do you think there? Do you think just a regular decision? Do you think he's going to get bonus there?
I think he can get a bonus.
Yeah. Out of that. We'll say Bakersfield is retooling too. How about that? Well,
yeah.
it's been a while with them, but Noah Certain also I have listed. They are home against Air Force. Some tough matches that I wanted to pick, but I'm a little hesitant to go one way or the other. I mean, I'll make my picks, but I think there's other guys there to be had. Steve O'Pullen and Troy Spratley are facing off. That's going to be a pretty good match there. I think it's a toss up. I mean, I know Spratley had a lot of hype coming into this season. He's ranked, I think, in the 20s, somewhere around there. And I think did Pullen just beat Volk, or did he lose to Jory Volk?
Oh, man.
I have to check.
I think he won.
We can check real quick here with our handy dandy WrestleStat.
I should know that. That's good, embarrassing.
No, I don't. Oh, he wrestled Noah Certain. That's it. Lost in overtime. Volk did to Noah Certain. But that said, I still think it's a little bit of a toss up. Who do you think? Spratley or Pullen? Who are you going with?
I'll go Pullen, but I think it'll be a really close match.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning the same way. I'll go Spratley just for sake of devil's advocate. Caleb Smith and Tanner Jordan, on paper, it's the number 8 versus number 28, respectively. But a year ago, Jordan beat Caleb Smith.
Yeah.
With him at Nebraska, do you think like we said, he was at Appalachian State. He's now at Nebraska. He kind of looks like a different wrestler.
Yeah. Tougher room.
Oh, I think we froze. There we go. I think the move has made him jump levels a little bit. I mean, he had that great CKLV run too. So I'm going to go with Caleb Smith, but history is always a little bit of a bitch. It comes back, you know? So we'll see. We'll see. What other good matches do you think do we have this week?
Ventresca and Provo wrestling.
Yeah. So Provo, probably the talk of the town at 125, and that cluster of a mess that is the 125 rankings. Win CKLV and Ventresca. I don't know if anybody saw my tweets regarding Flo's rankings, but basically, to boil it down, Jack Maeda, who beat Ventresca at the beginning of the season, he was before CKLV or something like that, he was ranked 12th or 13th. And then a week goes by, Maeda doesn't wrestle and somehow drops to number 30. And they say that it's because Ventresca's taken so many losses that win now holds less water, which I'm a little confused by, because there's other people that have beaten Ventresca that moved up and have since moved up even more. So if you're going to devalue a loss for one wrestler, you got to devalue it for the other wrestlers, and those wrestlers don't have as good a resume. It's a whole thing. Somehow he's up to like 20 something now without,
yeah,
so it just,
or you could just be Richie Figueroa and not wrestle at all and just stay ranked second the whole year,
basically. Yeah, you can just go ahead and do that. Now I will say, I didn't put him in the 125 for this week, but Richie Figueroa will be wrestling at Reno Tournament of Champions.
No, good.
The only problem is there's not a whole lot of D1 competition that I'm seeing right now. So it might be they
won't count.
Right. So for fantasy purposes, if you're doing a WrestleStat league, it's not going to count. So if you're in a personal league or something like we are with our Matt Scout Dynasty League, then yeah, that's going to, be pretty good. That's going to be beneficial. I think Jagger's got figs on his team. But with going back to Ventresca and Provo, what does a win do with a Provo win over Ventresca? Does that more solidify that he is, you know, he should be number one? I think he's number one in Flo's rankings or something like that. I think he's 4 in Intermat's rankings. Or do you think Ventresca's not the same wrestler he was last year? He's taken so many losses that it's just another win under Provo's belt. Doesn't really mean plus or minus anything.
I think Ventresca is still a quality wrestler. So I think it's a quality win if you beat him.
Mm-hmm. Once an All-American, always an All-American. You know, you can't take it away from you.
And, you know, some he might just had a bad run there. Who, you know, doesn't mean you're a bad wrestler.
Yeah. I think he was, what was he, like the 26th seed or something like that going into Nationals? And he had,
yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Just like they say, age is just a number. Seed's just a number, too. Moving on to 133. Bucknell's got two matches this week versus Bloomsburg versus Buffalo. Kurt Phipps, I have from Bucknell with a +9, as well as Nasir Bailey from Little Rock. They got Chattanooga and Queens, or they're at Chattanooga and Queens, and then they're actually going to be going to Nashville for collegiate duels. And like I said, we'll get into that too. So flying into Chattanooga, I guess they're going to stay there basically for the duration. Doesn't make sense to fly back. Gabe Wisenhunt from Oregon State also wrestling CSU Bakersfield, have him with bonus. John Hildebrandt wasn't the starter, I believe, for Drexel at the beginning of the season. He beat Kolioko at the Keystone Classic, that first match that they had. I think Hildebrandt then got beaten like two times by unranked guys, so kind of for naught. But I have him with +3 at Ohio this week. Tyler Knox, and we're going to mention Stanford guys in our notes here a couple times. They showed out during Cliff Keen. And I don't know if it's, you know, just Coach Ayers introducing Taylor Ham or pork roll, whatever he calls it, to the West Coast, or, you know, what's going on, but he's got those guys wrestling pretty well. Tyler Knox,
he was an amazing coach at Princeton, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
He's having the same success at Stanford.
Yeah. I think he came into a good crop too.
He did. I mean, Cole had that program humming, but I think Ayers was a good hire for replacing Cole.
I know we didn't get into the whole coaching carousel, but I mean, that took me by surprise. I didn't think he was going to go that way. Cause I think, his daughter got it. Is that Lehigh? I think, either Lehigh or Princeton, one of the two she's in. So I was like, well, he's got family here. It'd be weird to move. And sure enough, he takes it. So that's fine. He's on the best coast, as they call it. Tyler Knox, though, we were talking about, had a great CKLV2. He faces Sam Latona, who didn't wrestle at CKLV. They should be meeting. I don't expect these two to be ducking each other or anything like that. Who do you got in that one? I know I think Latona's coming off a minor injury, or, you know, banged up from the All-Star Classic, but
I'll take Latona.
Still going with Latona?
Yeah.
He's tough. Yeah. If Knox can beat Latona, I think it more solidifies that he's if you're in a dynasty league or you're in a season league that carries over, Knox might be your 133. I actually need a 133 for my Russell Stat league. That might be my pickup if he beats Latona this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that'd be a huge win.
Anyone from our league listening, forget I said that. I'm not going to do that. That's totally not what I'm going to do if that happens.
Don't take him.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I was just joking. You know, you don't have to get that. 141, Lachlan McNeil. I have him as +9. He's fallen a little bit in the rankings. He they were at CKLV, right? And I think
he lost to Henson, right? Or no, not Henson. No,
41. He lost to. He was the number one seed. And he went down to, who did he go down to?
Who did Mendez wrestle in the finals?
I think it was Mendez and Ryan Jack.
Yeah, so Jack must have upset.
Yeah, which I said coming into the season, I picked him in our WrestleStat league because he was ranked a little lower because I think he was blood round maybe, or he wasn't round of 16. I have to go back and check. But I felt like he wasn't getting the kind of respect that he deserved in a sense. He took Hardy to the brink. I think he beat Hardy at Journeyman last year at Wranglemania, and then he lost to him like two times again, but he always kept it close. He's right there. He gets a run like he did at CKLV. He could be top end AA.
I think he will. I think he'll be not first, but I'll take third through sixth for him.
Somewhere there. Yeah. I definitely think he's an AA caliber guy. It's just I think he kind of gets overlooked in the discussion at 141 too. Jordan Hamden for Michigan State. They're at Clarion. I have him with plus four. Josh Edmond, Air Force again, plus four. Brock Hardy, plus four. Cleveland Belton from Oregon State, I have his plus four. Now, I will say, I did see, we were talking about Reno, I did see some Oregon State guys, some starters, more in the upper weights, like Rademacher. I think Crosby was in there too. So a couple starters, I don't think they're going to need them necessarily to beat Bakersfield. So maybe that's why they're getting, you know, extra run at some matches under their belt, you know, because I think Belton's like, or not Belton, Crosby, I think is like 2-2 or something like that. So got to pad those stats a little bit. 149, Dylan Chappell from Bucknell, like we said, Bloomsburg, Buffalo, I have him with plus eight. Noah Castillo from Chattanooga, I think is going to have a good bonus day too. I have him as plus seven. Ridge Lovett, usually a you know, bonus guy. I think he bonuses again.
Yeah, he likes to score points.
Yeah, I think, and Caleb Tides from SIUE, the only SIUE guy I think we have this week versus Cal Baptist and Kent State. Kent State, they are, we talked about retooling with some of the other schools. They're just buying new tools at this point. They're not retooling. They're you know, moving workshops. They're getting new tools. They're switching from Ryobi to Milwaukee, or at least they need to. You know, I think they got beat by a D2 team this year, like a week ago. So I mean, nothing against the D2 team, but when you're a D1 program that's had All Americans and stuff like that of recent, with the Kyle Connell run, you know, I don't know, man. We just got to redo some of the recruiting or something like that. Yeah. Who else at 149 do you like this week?
Singleton from Oregon State. I think they're wrestling Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm, right.
I think he gets a bonus victory there, probably plus four.
There's a lot of bonus to go around in that match, in that duel, I think.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kyle Schickel from Clarion. I don't think I have many Clarion wrestlers on there, too. I think they're home against Michigan State, not at Michigan State. Have him winning plus three. Caleb Henson, who we were just talking about. You know, usually there'd be a little bit of precaution because he's going to be wrestling Abbas. Usually there's precaution, you know, maybe go with somebody else, but he's faced everybody who's come in front of him, and all except I think his only loss is to Lovett, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he's had another loss.
Not this year, no.
No. So usually I'd say let's have a little bit of precaution, but he's wrestling so good and he's quick. He finishes his shots. I'm going to go with him. I'm winning by plus three. It very well could be a plus four, but I'm going to be conservative and say plus three.
Yeah, he's better than Abbas at this point.
Yeah, we were talking about Stanford, you know, trending up. Hopefully, I don't know, Abbas gets on that train too. Here, yeah, he's 16-1, Henson, with his only loss to Lovett at CKLV. Man, he's fall tech. Got this new 3-point takedown, a lot of techs, especially at tournament first round. I like it, but I also, in the back of my mind, I'm kind of old man grumpy. Like in my day, it was 2-point takedown, and when you text someone, it meant something. You know, now just get a few takedowns and it's a tech, basically. It does speed things up a little bit, kinda. We're still waiting until late in the night to get things done. But 149 from Missouri, who gets the start? You know, they've had a few different guys in there in the past. Gabe Willichels, who's going to be the opponent for him for Wyoming, who I like. I had him early on in the fantasy season. It's Nathan Pulliam, Missouri's wrestling Air Force, but Nathan Pulliam beat Gabe Willichel. Logan Joffrey has been the starter in past duels. I don't know who to go with, so I didn't put anyone there. If you know who's going to wrestle and you have time to pick them up, I would say pick them up because it's going to be a win for whoever wrestles. It's just we don't know who it is, so
that makes it tough.
Yeah, because it's either 0 points or, well, obviously anything can happen. You could lose, but it's going to be 0 points, or if you know ahead of time, you can get that in maybe pretty quick if you have that ad drop available. 157. Who do you like at 157 this week?
I like Matt Bianchi from Little Rock. He's got two matches, I think both bonus, get +8 or maybe even +10.
Like I said, Little Rock's got a few guys this season. They're on the upswing. I like what they're doing out there. Brock Mahler, I think, gets a Tech +5. Tommy Askey +4 for Appalachian State. Peyton Robb, he's been on the Tech train. He's been on a tear. He ran through. He got OW for CKLB.
Yeah.
Yep. Which I have to say, every time we mention him, to be doing what he's doing when almost losing his leg. I don't know how close he was to actually losing the leg, but the photos that we saw made it seem like he shouldn't have a leg right now. For what he's doing, I mean, it's fucking amazing.
That made my leg injury look like nothing.
Yeah.
And mine was like, pretty gross.
You had like a hole.
Had a hole in my leg. His whole leg was the hole.
Yeah, it's just like taking a, it's like they took a peeler and just kind of,
yeah.
Peyton Keller against Drexel, they got him as +4. I mentioned Crosby at 57. This doc was made before I found that this morning, so I'll be removing him, putting him in the Reno TOC. And your guy, Chase Saldate, I have as well. I think he's going to be a little close, but a great matchup. And so, like we said, Stanford on the upswing. You know, they got the Jersey grit right now going through them. There's going to be a lot of good matches with this Virginia Tech Stanford match.
Yeah.
Andonian Cardenas again. Now at CKLV, Andonian won 17-7. So pretty convincing major. Do you think he wins by major this time? Do you think it's going to be closer? Do you think Cardenas can get the win? Do you think it was just something in the air in Vegas that?
I think they're going to game plan better, but I still think Andonian gets the win, but I think it'll be closer.
And this is kind of I'm not going to say a first for Andonian, but he's from the beginning, he's been wrestling. We talked about at the beginning of the year, you know, the past 2 years, he hasn't really started. I think the season he's waited till December or late December.
Yeah.
To get going. He's been wrestling since the beginning. He was at the Keystone Classic. You know, he was at CKLV's, looked good. Did he beat Shapiro, or did he lose to Shapiro?
I think he got crushed by Shapiro.
Yeah. But Andonian had the last laugh with placing. Just goes to show you the sport. Everyone's ready to anoint Shapiro as the next coming of Jordan Burroughs, but, well, maybe Jordan Burroughs isn't he didn't win four titles, but you know what I mean.
The next Gonzalez. Yeah, or Kyle Date.
Yeah. And, you know, then he kind of like does to DMP, basically.
Yeah, I think he majored Andonian in the in the round of 16 and then went two and out after that.
Yeah. It's just crazy sport. But we love it. We love it so much. 165, Noel Mulvaney from Bucknell got him with +7. Camden Munro from Chattanooga versus Little Rock and Queens got him with +6. Two regular decision wins there. Keegan O'Toole, I have him as a Tech. Could be a pin. I don't like to always put pins as a projection, but sometimes it warrants it. This very well could have been projected as a pin because
It's going to be a pin or a tag.
Yeah. Now I will say who he's wrestling is, I think it is a Petrocelli from trying to see Keegan O'Toole. Here we go. And yeah, he's got Gianno Petrocelli from Air Force, who's a good wrestler. He's ranked 24th on WrestleStat. I don't know if he's ranked on the internet, but he's always been one of those fringe, you know, high ranked guys. I just think O'Toole's on a different level.
Yeah, O'Toole's, you know, too good.
O'Toole, Carr, those top 65 guys, it's just, you know, it's kind of unfair.
Yeah.
Matthew Ogland for Oregon State, have him with +4. Garrett Thompson's going to have a pretty good match with Chad Walsh against Drexel, but I have him coming out on top with a +3. We saw Tanner Cook wrestle for SDSU. He lost recently. I think he's got like 3 losses on the season. He's got Antrell Taylor this year from, or this week from Nebraska. I never want to count him out. I'm, you know, sometimes I say on here, I want to see a win, a good signature win, before I give you the benefit of the doubt in a high ranked match, like I'm doing with Caleb Henson. Even if I have that validation with you, if you're wrestling Tanner Cook, I'm a little scared to put you in the preview, in the outlook.
Yeah, Tanner Cook always has the pin to, mm-hmm. you know, fall back on. Like,
he's never out.
Yeah, he's never out of it because he can pin anybody.
We've learned this throughout his career, where he should have been teched, and then somehow he just Gator Bacons, right?
Yeah.
Right over. 174. What are we looking at 174? What looks good at 174?
I like Peyton Mocko from Missouri over Air Force again.
There's a lot of Missouri guys on this list this week. Miles Takats. I'm so sorry, Bucknell. I'm mispronouncing it. I have him as +6. Peter Acciardi from California Baptist, a transfer. I think he was at Buffalo originally. Northern Illinois at SIU Edwardsville and Kent State. Have him as +9. He's not really a big bonus guy.
Yeah. So.
But
that +9 is still pretty good.
Still good, but he has been known to drop one too, an odd one. So I'm going to label that as kind of a risky pick for you. I know that it's tempting to have 3 matches +9. It looks all shiny. Let's go ahead and get it. But if you have maybe a Tyler Brennan from Little Rock, who's got a +9 also, but he's got 2 matches, you're asking a lot more to get bonus, but might be the safer pick.
Yeah.
Like we said, South Dakota's going to be wrestling Nebraska. Cade DeVos, I have here, is +3. Word is that Bubba Wilson will be moving up to 74 and be the Huskers 174 pounder.
Oh, wow.
I don't know when that's going to start. Maybe it's going to be second semester. You know, for all 7 fans of ours that listen to the podcast, are getting a little bit of info here. So tell your friends if you want to get a little bit of, you know, inside scoop. Sometimes we actually divulge some of that. But yeah, I think Bubba Wilson goes. Even if he does, I think Cade DeVos beats him.
I think
he's +3. If Bubba Wilson doesn't wrestle, I think it could be +4.
Yeah.
But if you have Cade DeVos, he's one of those guys right now. He won CKLV. You're going to start him regardless.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Norman, another Stanford guy, jumped up in the wrestlings. He's #4 in WrestleStat. You know, sometimes WrestleStat can be a little reactionary with that just because of the algorithm. Not that, yeah. You know, they're not putting Crookham at #1 just because they're, you know, it's a whole algorithm. And with a freshman or true freshman, redshirt freshman, you have less matches. So when you have a huge win, like what's his name from Princeton, Elijah, I'm blanking. He beat Graham Rooks, I believe, this weekend or last weekend. He's up to like #24, and he's had some questionable losses in comparison to that. But, you know, it's the algorithm. That's why we love him so much. But Lorenzo Norman jumped up to #4 in WrestleStat rankings after CKLV. He's going to have Makai Lewis, if Makai Lewis wrestles. He hasn't wrestled since the All-Star Classic. He skipped CKLV, hasn't wrestled since November 17th, basically.
Yeah,
in an NCAA duel. So, do we see him? I don't know. like I said, there's a lot of good matchups. So maybe depending on how the match goes, maybe you don't need to put Lewis out there. Maybe you do. Maybe they need that decision win to sway things in their favor.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, yeah. Let's see. 184. Looking here. Tristan Willis. Wills, I'm sorry. From Little Rock again. Chattanooga, Queens got +7 right there. Gavin Kane coming off an injury, I think, from the beginning of the season. He's usually pretty good with bonus. He didn't have a whole lot at the Journeyman Wranglemania. But he's got Morgan State and Appalachian State, so that's a +7 I had there. Again, talking about, I don't like to project pins. I think Trey Munoz is going to get a pin.
Yeah.
Here, I have him as +6 Who else do you like at 184?
I like Lenny Pinto, Nebraska.
Pinto,
I think at least +3 maybe +4
He's got Bennett Berge, and I know we kind of all had lofty expectations with Berge, especially after he won a cadet medal, didn't he? Or not a cadet?
Yeah, I think he medaled at Cadet Worlds.
Yeah. You know, and we all saw what Braxton Amos did, and then coming back, and he wasn't the same guy as he was in freestyle, as he was in folk style, you know, all that. But he hasn't, Berge hasn't had kind of that signature win this season. So I'm going with Pinto with a lot of favor, I guess, like conviction. I have a lot of confidence. That's the word I'm looking for. Confidence that Pinto is going to get the win. Could Berge get the win? I think it's possible, but he hasn't shown anything to kind of lead me to there, or even question that this isn't a match Pinto can't win.
Yeah, I don't think he's there yet with somebody like Pinto.
Mm-hmm. Zane Lehman from Ohio, I got him versus Drexel +3 and Sam Fisher also +3 Air Force's Sam Wolf. I think he's ranked about 12th right now in Intermat standing, Intermat rankings. He's been having a pretty good season, and he's probably still available in some of your leagues. So if you do have a maybe this week isn't the one to go with, because he's got Whiting from Missouri, who's that's going to be a toss-up match, I think.
Yeah. But,
you know, if you're looking for a 74-pounder, if you've been hit with the injury bug, or you just don't you want to try to upgrade your 174, Wolf might be a guy to take a look at.
Isn't Wolf 184?
84. What was I saying? 74?
Yeah, he said 70.
84. What time is it? 10:30 almost? Goddamn.
He had a, I mean, he didn't just beat Foca. He crushed Chris Foca, which was shocking to me.
Yeah. I heard some rumblings on why Foca might have not been, nothing, you know, bad on him, but some things going on that maybe may have been clouding judgment a little bit, you know, stuff going on. I don't know the full story. I don't know that for sure. It's just rumors that I've heard, that I've seen. So that could be why. And we've seen that before happen. So I think for Foca, let's see what the next couple matches do before we kind of write them off at up a weight.
The Quentin Wright season, his sophomore year.
Right.
When we all know his head wasn't right until he won everything.
Yeah. It only took till he won the championship, and then that's what you gotta do. Just win the championship.
Yeah, he won the Big Tens and then won nationals as like the 12th seed or something like that.
Yeah, and I think the article I do every year about the Big Ten championships, where I think it's been over 10 or 12 years since a 4 seed has won any weight at Big Tens. Yeah, I think Quentin Wright was kind of like that anomaly one. It's like, yeah, it's always ones, twos. There was this 12 seed one time. And then, 197, Stephen Little. Did I say that? Yeah. Did I put Stephen Little? No, Tristan Willis. There's so many Little Rock guys that I'm getting confused. Stephen Little from Little Rock, have him as +10, one of the higher projections that we have this week outside of any type of tournament. Max Shaw, also I have him as +8 from UNC. Rocky Elam got him as +5. He's been wrestling some guys that he should be bonusing, and he's kind of just finishing with decisions, or maybe he should be teching. He's kind of only just getting the major. Yeah. I know he's been out a little bit, so maybe he's just catching up, you know.
He was out at the beginning of the season.
Right. There was questions whether he was going to wrestle. I think the first match he could have wrestled was Arizona State, and they didn't really need him for that. So, I mean, he wasn't out there. Cale Whistler from Michigan State also we got there. Silas Allred versus Tanner Sloan this week. Should be close. However, they've wrestled three times in their career. Allred is 0-3 against Sloan, including a loss this past week or so against Sloan where he got majored.
Yeah.
So is it one of those things where Chris Broussard likes to say it a lot on First Take, they're due. Sloan's due for a loss. Is this the time that Allred at home against against Sloan gets the win?
I'll say no.
Yeah, I'm thinking Sloan's probably getting that win too. But, you know, Allred had that great run last year at Big Tens, and at Nationals. So we'll see. Again, I don't think so. If we had to shake the Magic 8-Ball, it doesn't look good.
Outlook not promising.
That's it. There we go. 285. Wyatt Hendrickson obviously would be on any type of fantasy outlook, no matter who he's wrestling, basically. He's actually listed as an entrant for the Reno tournament.
Really?
Not for the duel, which is a little odd to me. Again, they're both the same day. So that's why it's a little confusing. Maybe they're just entering them because they're going to take a look and make it a game time decision, a day before decision, whether he wrestles the duel or not. If he wrestles the duel, he's going to be wrestling Zach Elam.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a high ranked win. However, if they're thinking that he's still kind of coming off that injury from, was it Worlds?
I think it was U23s. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he wrestled at the All-Star Classic too. Got pinned, right? He got tacked. So
yeah.
Didn't look the same. Maybe they just want him to kind of get confidence, you know, back, knock the rust off.
I don't know if you want your first match back to be against, you know, Zach Elam.
Right. Exactly. So not to maybe offend Air Force, but I don't think you're going to beat Missouri even with Wyatt Hendrickson. So maybe they're kind of just not necessarily throwing in the towel, but they're conceding, you know, certain matches. But again, from a fantasy standpoint, let's take a look at how many D1 guys. There's still a day or so for entries to come through, but there's not a whole lot of D1 guys there. So he's going to pin, but they're not all going to be D1 guys, and you're not going to get points. So, I mean, it is what it is there. Josiah Hill from Little Rock, again, heavyweight. I got him with +7. Cade Lott, who's now UNC's heavyweight from 97 or 84, wherever he was prior. I got him as +7. Boone McDermott, +5. Right. And I put Zach Elam because, like we were just talking, I don't think Hendrickson's going to wrestle.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm kind of going out on a ledge here, putting him in as a +4 projection, but we'll see. Obviously let's wait and see if maybe we get some more info before you make the final decision to put him in. But I think you're pretty safe if you put him in.
Yeah.
Let's see. Any other ones? Hunter Kaka too.
Yeah.
This is
probably +3.
Yeah. I think just a regular, he's not a huge bonus guy this year. Even last year, I don't think he had a whole lot. So that's week 7, and let's turn to, as they say, pretty quick here. Let's head into week 8. Okay.
Let's do it.
So week 8, and I'll share my screen again here, 'cause you know, we're a technologically advanced podcast here. So if we're looking at the collegiate wrestling duels in Nashville, usually in the past couple years, you've had Penn State, you had Iowa in the first year when it was in Destin. This year's I'm not going to say a little bit down because you have still a lot of top ranked teams. I think the senior nationals is kind of getting in the way of you know, Penn State being there,
or
you know, some of the other schools. So that said, the format's a little different. Usually it would have been like every team wrestles day one, and then that kind of sets everybody up for who cross brackets and wrestles the next one. Now it's like day one, these six teams are going to wrestle. Then day two, these six teams are going to wrestle. Or is it six? One, two, three, four. Four teams. These four teams are going to wrestle. Round robin kind of thing. But so on Monday, collegiate duels, we got Cornell, Iowa State, Little Rock, Lock Haven, NC State, Northern Iowa, Ohio State, and Pittsburgh locking. They lock at noon, which weigh-ins are at noon. So, I mean, you'll be able to see basically who's going to be wrestling, kind of to make your decision before rosters lock. Of this first grouping here, Cornell, Little Rock, Pitt, Iowa State, which matches are you kind of looking forward to? I'll zoom in here for you.
Yeah, it has to be Cornell, Iowa State.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good duel.
That's going to be a good duel and going to be a rematch from last year. If you remember, that was the match where who was their heavyweight? Sam Schuyler got injured and they had to bump everybody up one.
Yeah.
And that was Bastida against Fernandez that came down to that crazy match. Now it's funny to say, oh, well, Bastida at heavyweight, he looks like a fucking juggernaut, right? But he didn't when he was weighing 97. He was having to struggle and cut weight. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that match. Now, again, Little Rock's going to be feisty. They're going to have some chances here. They're going to, I think, put a few people on notice with their guys. I really like the way Little Rock is set up, and they've been recruiting. And I'm a huge fan of Nasir Bailey too.
Yeah,
I think he could be their first AA for him, honestly. Stephen Little also is pretty good. It's just I think 97 is a little bit too deep right now. But that said, everybody's circling, like you said, Cornell, Iowa State, Cornell, Pittsburgh should be good. Pittsburgh, we didn't even talk about it, I'm sorry, during our pleasantries. We talked off air that we were going to talk about it, and we didn't. Pittsburgh beat Ohio State, which
yeah,
I don't think anybody saw in our Intermat pick'ems, staff pick'ems. Everybody had Ohio State except Robbie Wendell, who I thought had to pick him because he's contractually obligated as the ACC correspondent that he has to. But no, it turns out he had the bigger brains than everybody else. I mean, one of the bigger matches was Matthews over Mendez in that
one. Yeah.
No, everyone I talked to, and that's why gambling is gambling, everyone would have bet the farm. Everyone would have bet that Mendez was going to get the win, and he almost got the win. It's just that last second takedown. Matthews was on a trajectory down while Mendez looked strong as hell.
But, yes, that's the thing with Matthews, though. He can beat anybody.
Well, when you keep everything close, you can win close.
Right, but you can also lose a lot.
And that's what he did. He lost close, too.
He's so hard to score on, though. He has amazing hips and flexibility.
Yeah. So, and talking about Ohio State too. Well, yeah, we'll say that to the end. But Ohio State also is in that second grouping here. I will say Cornell, Pitt, Cornell, Iowa State, and Pitt, Iowa State. Pitt, Iowa State's going to be that rematch also from last year. That came down to heavyweight Pitzer and no, not Pitzer. It was Bonacorsi and yeah. Bastida was winning. I remember I was in the Target parking lot watching on my phone because I had Bastida on my fantasy team. I was fucking yelling at the top of my lungs because he did that stupid dive under. And that's how he got taken down. I still won the week probably. But
I just remember you guys all made fun of me because I picked Bonacorsi to win last year.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah. So we also made fun of your brother in our original fantasy league for picking Vincenzo Joseph as a true freshman.
In the first round pick.
As his first round pick. We're like, you fucking idiot. What are you doing? Why are you picking Vincenzo? He ended up winning the championship.
Yeah, he wound up and probably had like 15 pins on the year too.
And beat, the returning two-time national champ or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Isaiah Martinez. But, yeah, let's not go there. Those are bad times. but So those are our great duels right there on day one, December 18th, which is your Monday. Tuesday, you have NC State, Lock Haven, Northern Iowa, Ohio State. I mean, obviously, Lock Haven, just like Little Rock, feisty. They're a gritty team. They've got a lot of fringe AA guys, I think, on their team. NC State is just built to win.
Yeah, I like their program.
I do too. That the way Pop has kind of, and we were talking about this the other day. You know, everyone's involved with the transfer portal. Michigan's got how many transfers in? Penn State even has transfers in, you know, everything like that. The real homegrown, so like no real transfers on their team that are, no one's challenging Penn State right now for a title, but if you call them title contenders or trophy contenders, homegrown, no transfers in, Cornell, NC State, and I think Missouri.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in the future, it's, you know, maybe 3-4 years down the line, you're going to look and a team like that, that just, they recruit their guy, they stay there the whole time and up for all 10 weights. It's going to be virtually unheard of, maybe.
Yeah.
So for them to be doing that that way, I mean, that says a lot about the program.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of transfers, what do you think the chances are that Gomez goes to Penn State now that Van Ness is out?
Ah, well, I don't know if you saw, but he does have a Michigan email address now.
Oh.
University of Michigan email address. And I think he did announce on Instagram he is now enrolled at Michigan. So
at Michigan. Okay, it makes sense.
So I mean, that boosts their lineup a whole lot. They had Gilcher, I think, down there at 49, true freshman. He only wrestled, I think, two or three events. So he's still within that true freshman five event limit. So he can retain his red shirt. But that's a huge boost for them. I think they got one or two holes up top, but we'll see how the year plays out. So yeah, Austin Gomez is back.
They had a disappointing CKLV.
They did. Davison was their only finalist, I think.
Yeah.
D'Agostino, I think, got hurt. Lemley didn't do anything.
Lemley lost.
Cam Amin didn't do anything crazy. Yeah, they. I would say it was more of a disappointment that way. With the number of finalists that they didn't have, they didn't have any champs. I don't think.
No.
Because Bastida won. Who I picked, remember? Now yeah. you had Unger winning too. That was a good pick by you.
Yeah, I took second.
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of chalk didn't happen there. like we thought it was.
So going into this to duel again, NC State, Ohio State, who you got?
So I wonder about Feldman if he's healthy. I think he got a stinger on his neck from a couple duels ago or maybe from CKLV. I kind of want to say NC State. My gut.
Yeah, me too.
NC State. McCrone's good, but he just lost to Camacho, which doesn't give me a – Camacho has been known to have those pretty good wins to show up for those big duels like that. But I don't know. I still have a lot of confidence in Mendez. I think he's a title contender. You know, Patty Gallagher, I think, has looked really good this year. I think he had weight troubles last year, but he's looked very good this year. He was kind of my guy to keep an eye on this season. But their upper weights, I'm just not sure of with Ohio State.
Yeah, Gavin's been losing a lot. Hoffman's been losing.
Yeah, I don't know if the move down for Hoffman, but that I mean, I think that who else do they got at 84? Ragazzi and Shoemate, I think.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if any of them are better than Hoffman right now. But obviously that's the coach's decision. I think you and I, Ohio State might be a decent duel. Too. That was a decent duel last year at the collegiate duels. I think you and I beat Ohio State last year. That was the Bozakis loss. I remember that. I think was it Biscaglia beat him? Maybe something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Or maybe that was at 41 he was up at. I forget. But either way, I think NC State wins the second day. I think they run the table. I think they beat Lock Haven, you and I, and Ohio State. But that Ohio State-NC State match is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, it'll be a good one.
And then we have on Tuesday the Fighting Camel Duels. Oh, I should mention, this is on Rockfin, the collegiate duels coming from Montgomery Bell Academy, Nashville, Tennessee. And then the Fighting Camel Duels will be on UFC Fight Pass, which is still pretty good matchups. Campbell and North Dakota State, Purdue, Stanford, they round robin. They're going to be wrestling each other. Three rounds, got 1, 3, and 5 p.m., so should be good. Let's run through some of the guys that we like for week 8 here, call it a day. We talked about Blake West. I should mention, Monday we ran through everyone that was in collegiate duels. That's going to lock. Tuesday, the 19th, Campbell, the Citadel, Duke, Kent State, North Dakota State, Northern Illinois, Northwestern, Oklahoma State, Purdue, Queens, Stanford, and Wyoming will all be locking. So a good amount of teams are locking, but they have about one duel because, you know, we are coming up to Christmas time that week. So basically looking here, Blake West, I have him versus Kent State versus Northwestern. I have him as plus 10, possibly two techs, maybe a pin and a major. I could see that happening as well. Logan Agan from Duke, have him as plus 6, gained 2 wins at Queens at the Citadel. Jory Volk, who we talked about earlier, and Troy Spradley, who we talked about earlier, will be meeting. That should probably be a toss-up, too.
Yeah.
Who you got in that one?
I'll take Spratley.
Spratley? Okay. All right. Is that 2-time Spratley that
you've called? No, I took Provo in the other.
Provo in the other one?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Or was it Provo?
Oh, no. It was Poulin.
Poulin. That's it.
Yeah, I took Poulin.
Both P names. No. Yeah, that's all right. And then Matt Ramos could have a great weekend.
That'd be a first.
he's going to have Provo. He's going to have Anthony Moulton, possibly, from Campbell, who he lost to last year. So I think it's a good time. He can either have a great weekend and show everybody that he deserves to be top three, top four, definitely, or he has maybe a so-so or bad weekend and he loses to two of those three.
How the hell did he beat Spencer Lee? How did he beat Spencer Lee? Like, Spencer Lee would tech all these other wrestlers that he's lost to at the same time. Spencer Lee could wrestle 5 or 6 of them at the same time and beat them all, but somehow he lost to Ramos.
Sometimes certain wrestlers give other wrestlers problems, no matter how you game plan or anything. I think it was a different style that Ramos was wrestling. It almost kind of felt that way.
But he did that in the duel meet too. He threw him
last year. Ramos was aggressive in all of his matches. He came out scoring and throwing. This year he looks a little, I don't want to say conservative because he does put up points, but I don't know. He's when he wrestled Spencer Lee, it was almost like, fuck it. I know if I lose, I lose. No one's expecting me to win. If I just throw all caution to the wind, I throw him to his ass, I'll become a hero kind of thing. You know, that type of mentality. And it worked for him. That was our problem with the finals against Glory. He didn't look like the wrestler that wrestled Spencer Lee. He looked like a guy who had the spot, you know, the hi hats in his eyes, the spotlight in his eyes, and was more conservative with his shots and everything. So I think if he's aggressive, he's one of the hardest guys to beat at the weight, but you got to throw caution to the wind, I think, with him.
Yeah.
That's how he's got to go. 133, no one really stepping out in those matches. Do we see Fix wrestle? He didn't wrestle against Crookham. There was a lot of talk about, you know, Fix was ducking. I'm kind of in the camp of Fix doesn't duck people. He usually always wrestles. John Smith was saying, you know, he was injured before, and if he could have wrestled, he could have, but he could have if they needed him.
So he didn't wrestle CKLV either.
He didn't wrestle CKLV either, right. So
what's going on there? Because I saw him warming up right before the CKLV started.
Right. So I don't know. Here's a question. Okay, because we always talk about ducking for seeds and all of that. And like I said, I don't think Fix is a guy that ducks for seeds. He's been the number one fantasy wrestler at 33 for the past 3 years because he wrestles every match, you know. Whether that's against Suriano, whether it's against any other high ranked guys, he'll wrestle them. But this is his 17th year in college, so maybe it is wearing a little bit. Maybe my speculation, which has no merit, no research, no sources behind, maybe he's looking to go down to 125 for Olympic trials. And maybe it's just a cut that he's having to get used to. Again, there is no validation to anything that I just said, but that's, you know, me kind of thinking, because I also need a 125 pounder, so it'd be good to kind of have him there.
Oh my God, if he was there, he would walk the weight.
That's what I mean. But do you sacrifice kind of strength and stamina for that? I don't know. But here's a question, because we always talk about ducking for seeds. When does precaution coming off injury or preventing injury turn into ducking? Does that make sense?
I think if you're only wrestling against the easy opponents, but you're out there wrestling within the next match and you're supposed to wrestle somebody good, you're out again. Like, that to me is ducking.
So if
you're back on the mat, you should be back on the mat for any match, not just for the easy ones.
So like last week, so he didn't wrestle Crookham, which, you know, hats off to Reese Whitcraft for Seth Duckworth had a good tweet, like in this age of transfer portals, he could be a starter on other teams, Reese Whitcraft.
Yeah.
He could be a national qualifier on other teams. He might be an AA threat too. He could be a blood round guy. But he's stuck with Oklahoma State. He's the backup at Oklahoma State behind possibly one of the best to ever do it in Dayton Fix. If Dayton Fix doesn't win it, possibly the best to never win a championship type wrestler. If Fix had wrestled against the Oklahoma wrestler a couple days later, I think it would be safe to call it ducking.
Yeah,
but he didn't. And they said it was out of precaution because I think he's dealing with something. So again, I go back to my question of, I totally understand you're coming off an injury. Like you said against Elam, right? Hendrickson and Elam. You don't want your first match to be against a guy who you're probably going to see in the finals of your conference tournament or anything. So I think coming off an injury, your first match is against Crookham. That might not be the smartest thing to do. If Oklahoma was first and then Crookham, maybe that would be a better way to go about it. But it looks like a duck, but it kind of doesn't smell like a duck. So it doesn't meet like two of the three criteria for me as ducking.
Well, like you said, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for now because he does wrestle all the time. It's not like he's somebody that is on a pitch count.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see how the next few weeks go. He's going to have this duel coming up. I forget who he's wrestling off the top of my head, but 141 also talking about injuries. Taking Jameson had an injury, finished the match, but had an injury there again. Seth Duckworth, kudos to him. He had a photo of it. His arm was bent the way it's not supposed to, on like a sit out. So I'm going to speculate that he probably misses some time. He's going to be on that server and Fix kind of pitch count. Let's ease your way back into competition.
Yeah.
Right. 149. We talked about Jay Navis. He's got the Campbell duels. I think he sets up pretty well in that too, to have a good day, a plus nine day. Even if he loses one, I think he still nets positive for the week. Trevor Chumbly, I have, he's close to 500, I think, on the season. He's against Northern Illinois. I have him as a tech. He's got a very good winnable match.
Yeah. Isn't he the one that beat Shapiro?
Did he beat Shapiro?
I think he beat him at the CKLV.
I don't think. Was it? No.
I thought it was.
Let me see. I'll check that right now. And you can see on the screen because I didn't take it off yet. If we're looking here, yes, he did. You're right. 2-1.
Yeah.
Boom. Lost to Patty Gallagher. He's only wrestled CKLV. There we go. Lost to Ed Scott. Isaiah Crosby beat. Shapiro he beat. Ryder Downey he lost. Ryder Downey had a good week too. It's just his, I think his, he's going to have a tough 157 at collegiate duels. So
yeah,
that's why he wasn't there. Let me stop presenting that. We don't need that anymore. So Trevor Chumbly, I have him as winning by tech. Maybe that's a little overzealous. So I think maybe major is more in line, but we're going to hope for the best there. Teague Travis from Oklahoma State. They're wrestling Wyoming. So have him with plus +4. Joey Blaze, America's sweetheart, is I have him as plus +4. I also have Cardenas as plus +4 because they're going to hit.
Yeah.
So obviously one of them's going to win and one of them's going to lose. That's just how these things work. If you're not new to wrestling, or if you are new to wrestling, there is no tie. So one, I think, is going to have a plus +10 day. The other is going to have a plus +4 day.
Yeah.
Which gets the plus +10 day, that's for you to decide.
Yeah, that's a toss-up match.
That is. Joey Blaze, Cardenas. I kind of want to lean Cardenas in it. I know he beat Ed Scott. Joey Blaze did at WrangleMania. I just think it's going to be that's my pick. If I had to choose between those two, I'm going to go with Cardenas. But Joey Blaze, he's a true freshman, right?
I think he's a true freshman, yeah.
He absolutely could win this as well. 165, Gaetano. Love that name. Consoli from Duke. Have him as plus +7 there. Isaac I've been saying his name wrong all these years. I've always said Isaac Olesnik. It's Olenek.
Olenek?
Olenek, yeah. Isaac Olenek. Like, it's so simple.
The J is silent.
Like right.
Yogging.
Yogging. Going for a nice yog. At Wyoming, I have him as a pin. He's shown in his history that he does get pins in these type of situations, in these type of
matchups. He definitely does.
Going to have that. Stoney Buell for Purdue. Campbell Duels, I have him as plus +4 as well. Max Mayfield, plus +3. Josh Stillings at 174. Lorenzo Norman.
Is that the Josh Stillings from our area, from District 1?
Is
he still in college?
Don't know.
Good Lord, if that's him.
Let's see.
Like his 11th year.
Home state is Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he's from District 1.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he was Penridge.
So sorry to hear that. You know, we've seen how District 1 has kind of gone down these past years.
Yeah. And what grade is he? Does it have
his grade? Senior.
Okay. He's probably like a ninth year senior.
Right. One of those COVID seniors. Yeah. Dustin Plott at 184. Have him as a plus +4. Levi Hopkins with the Campbell duels. I have him as plus +3. At least. He does have Nick Stemmett.
Yeah, it's tough.
Stemmett, I think, is kind of a wild card. I don't know what to think there, but it's just like the Cardenas Blaze thing. Like, one of them I think is going to go plus +3, the other one's going to go plus seven or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see. That's 97. And then at 285, I think the highest ranked guy is Tay Gialdi for Campbell. I think he's got a sweet cream puff of a matchup with all of three of those duels. Have him as plus +13. Connor Doucette also as a plus +3.
Yeah.
So I mean,
Gowdy's having a great season.
He is. He's atop the fantasy overall standings So, yeah.
And what's he ranked now at heavyweight? I know it's heavyweight's loaded, but he's got to be in the top 15, right?
He is at, I'll tell you in 1 second here with my handy dandy Intermat bookmark. He is ranked at heavyweight, eighth.
Yeah. So, yeah,
he's right on the cusp. He did lose at CKLV, once. Was it CKLV? I think. Yeah.
He put third, and, right? I think. Or did he made the finals, didn't he? No, he wasn't in the finals. Yeah, he took third, I think.
Yeah. Campbell, just double check that.
Because it was but Bastida and Davison in the finals.
Right. I think who do you lose to? He lost to Davison 6-2.
Yeah.
So yeah. He took third. There.
That's good. It was a tough tournament.
Yeah. I mean, here's the guys behind him. Tyrell Gordon, Dayton Pitzer, Nathan Taylor, Connor Doucette, Boone McDermott, Feldman's down at 18. Above him is Slavikowski, Zach Elam, Colton Schultz.
Yeah, so he could get into All-American that
year. I think Gialdi and Zach Elam is a good match. I think they're very even. I think he could beat Elam too.
Yeah.
So I mean,
where he's going to fall in the bracket.
This is kind of this year, I think, for him. He's a junior, so he'll still have one more year after this. And honestly, Hendrickson graduates. Bastida still has a year. He's listed as a senior, but he's got another year. Davison's a senior. Kirkwood is a junior. Junior eligibility. I think Bastida's a junior eligibility too, but he's listed as a senior. But we've always speculated on whether Kirk is going to come back.
I would doubt it.
If he wins, definitely not. That's kind of my thinking. If he doesn't,
I think the same thing.
If he doesn't win, it's going to be up in the air. It's going to be him and Carter Strachey. Do I come back or not? Carter's got a side note. Carter's got to come back.
For five.
You, depending on if he wins this year, he's got to come and be the only five-time D1 national champion.
I'm sure Penn State will pay him enough to come back if he needs the money, or you know, if he wants to come back, they'll pay the fee.
His kids, grandkids will be set basically if he does. That's the type of bag he would probably get. But we'll end on this because we were talking about dual meets and everything to wrap everything up, put a nice little Christmas bow on this. We talked about Pitt beating Ohio State. Nobody really had that as their guess except Robbie. Columbia beat UNI. Nobody really had that
in their
cards. I think Columbia was powered by like three or four pins to get them there. Happel got pinned, which was crazy. So we always bring up the national duels idea. Is it now more than ever that the movement, I'll call it the movement, not trademark, for national duels is kind of has steam, has enough kind of support, do you think?
Yeah, I love the national duels. I love the idea of a national duels. I do not like the idea of having it after the individual nationals. I think it should be before.
That's the thing. And I think in the off season we should do a podcast on just national duels and have a few select maybe guests.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Foreshadowing on that, but I'll say this, right? Tim Kirchen, the famous analyst on ESPN, huge baseball guy. He said something that kind of resonates with me when it comes to applying to wrestling duels. And I think he was saying it about the Phillies when they had the four aces. You had Halliday, you had Cliff Lee, you had Cole Hamels and Roy Oswalt, right? Or maybe it was even before that when it was just Halliday. Halliday is an all-star. He's a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer. You can have Roger Clemens. You can have, you know, pick any famous great pitcher. In a seven-game series, they're only going to account for maybe one, or like a five game series or whatever. They're only going to account for one or two games.
Yeah.
they're limited on how they could be the best pitcher in the world. They only have so much effect on the overall thing. And I kind of equate that with wrestling too. You can have a Spencer Lee who's going to pin everybody, but that's only 6 points. That's one tenth of the whole series.
Yeah.
So where in a tournament setting, you know, just like how Michigan got 20 points basically from having Nick Sirianni on their team last year or 2 years ago when it was in Detroit, which helped them get a second place trophy. In a tournament, there's way more exposure for having that guy that can make the finals. There's a lot more sway that way. It's more fluid. In a dual meet, he can only account for so many points, a maximum of 6 points. Maybe if you piss off the coach and they throw their headgear or something like that and they get a minus point. And then you get one loss from someone who's not supposed to lose. That's a 6 point swing right there.
Yeah.
It's so much more dynamic. And I think people love chaos. People love the, you know, the underdog. I agree with you. There's a way to do it. I don't know what that way is yet. I don't think it's after the season. I don't think it's right at the beginning of the season. How do you choose which teams get into it? You know, I know Coach Goodale's real adamant about it. Earl, every time he can, he'll tweet about it, as he should. But I think in our lifetime, we'll see it.
I think it should just be the way it was before, when it was like right after the holidays. It was like sometime mid-January.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's early enough that if you get hurt, you can still be back for postseason.
That's my thought. Either right around this time, or like when National Collegiate Duels does it, do it around this time. It can be a 2 day thing. It could be a 2-3 day thing that it would be. If you have it in the middle of the season as a dual championship, it sets up almost a storyline for the individual tournament.
Yeah.
So it's so far enough away that Mekhi Lewis and Carter Sturacci meet and Sturacci wins, that it's going to create so much talk into the national tournament, you know?
Yeah.
Same thing if Sturacci, say, were to lose to Lewis, then it becomes an even more bigger storyline. Oh, these two meet in the finals. Oh, he beat him earlier this year in the National Collegiate Duels or whatever you want to call it or something like that.
Yeah.
But there we go. I don't know how long we've been talking for. It's been a while. I'm tired. I got to render this thing and get it over to Earl and finish up the outlook. But that was week 7, a little bit of week 8. Keep your notifications on. I'll let you guys know more entries that come into the Reno Tournament of Champions, as well as anything that pops up next week for week 8. So, Todd, any parting words? Anything good for the cause?
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, we probably won't be back next week. Things are going to be a little hectic. I have to probably find some presents that I'm forgetting to buy for people. But thanks, everybody, for clicking. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you, I don't know, and probably in the new year.
Happy holidays, everyone.